You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
The most important thing is for all of us, our coaches and players, myself included, is to focus on the things that we can control. And as we get more information, as we get closer to training camp, then we'll try to make, the best decision for the Houston Texans, whatever that entails.
That was Nick Caserio on this show back in June when Seth asked him, how are you handling Deshaun Watson internally with the players? It was a longer answer than that, but that part there was the most intriguing part because it set training camp as sort of a kind of a deadline for a decision of some sort, and it would appear the decision of Deshaun Watson is to show up at training camp. Now, the question becomes, will Deshaun Watson be on the practice field this Wednesday when Camp Caserio gets started, 9 a.m. So this time, 2 days from now, 48 hours from now, we will know for sure what the answer is as to whether or not Deshaun Watson puts on a Texans uniform, at least a practice uniform, one more time, which is exactly, I think, what the national media who's assembled here is going to be looking for. John McClain pointed that out last week. The circus that we are going to see on Wednesday if Deshaun Watson is out there.
If he showed up, it'd be a circus-like atmosphere. They got some national media coming in. They all want to be there because I'm like, okay, national media, first day of Texans training camp, a team everybody thinks is going to be the worst in the league. I don't remember that. And it'd be for one reason.
Yep.
Does Watson show up? And if he doesn't and they know he's not coming, do those national media guys turn around and go somewhere else? So it's going to be kind of a circus anyway.
All right, so that's John McClain from last Wednesday, his appearance with us here on Sports Radio 610. So as of right now, it looks like we're at least on track. Until we hear something from one of the two sides, until we hear something, or at least it feels like it's been leaked by one of the two sides, then the longer this goes, the more likely it is that Deshaun Watson is at practice on Wednesday, I would imagine. And we talked about it last week, going into Sunday, going into this weekend, there were really three scenarios. Deshaun Watson holds out, Deshaun Watson shows up, and they come to some sort of conclusion. The Texans and Deshaun that allows him an excused absence from training camp, or Deshaun Watson suits up and actually begins training camp. I guess we can cross off the first scenario. Deshaun was in the building yesterday getting a physical and I would imagine getting COVID tested, getting onboarded. So it's down then to the next two scenarios, scenario two and scenario three, that they come to a resolution that allows an excused absence or that Deshaun Watson is on the practice field.
Yeah. Somebody texted in a friendly reminder that a circus is better than a bleep show. I use a bad word there for so it is a, if it is a circus, then so be it.
It can be both.
Yeah, it can be both.
I've been to some bad circuses before.
That's true. I remember that this feels a little bit like the first time I went to a circus and realized, you know what it was? It was that I was over at NRG Stadium and the circus was in town during the off season, and I was in working out and the circus was over there, but it was like, 9 a.m. in the morning. So I went over and just sort of wandered into the backstage area, and I saw all the tigers kind of like pacing back and forth,
yeah,
and not looking all that happy. Like I felt, I saw some of the other livestock, and I started feeling really, really bad for the animals, and it was kind of sad. This feels like that kind of circus right now. Yeah. It feels like a sad, sad circus.
Those are a literal bleep show. There's a lot of bleep back there.
There like is that too.
A lot of literal
too.
Fecal matter.
Yeah, yeah, that doesn't all smell like sweet and fragrant like horse manure either.
No, not at all. Not
so,
at all.
That's the question is, okay, what, how do they handle the next 48 hours? and where is Deshaun with this? We've seen, I mean, we just with the Rockets situation with James Harden was something that I'm not sure I've ever seen. I mean, have you ever seen a disgruntled player act quite like that? That's as important a part, like the best player on the team act disinterested, sullen, just flat out playing poorly on purpose, it seemed at times. I don't know if I've ever quite seen anything like that.
No.
And yet, and I'll be the first to say, I don't think Deshaun would do that. But there's the one report by Ian Rappaport, was it? That said that his demeanor suggested he didn't want to be there?
That was Pelissero.
Pelissero said that,
I'll actually read the tweet. So Tom Pelissero tweeted earlier today that the Texans are now willing to listen and have been for some time to trade offers for Deshaun Watson, but the price is high for a player of his caliber and should be. It'd likely take at least 3 first-round picks and more. When he reported, this is the part you're talking about, Seth, when he reported to camp Sunday, Watson was respectful, but his demeanor reiterated he doesn't want to be in Houston. The question is, will a team step up with a type of massive offer that would compel the Texans to move him now? That's the big question.
There's just so much uncertainty, and I don't know.
I wonder if I were a GM.
So right now, unless those teams maybe know more than we do, or it may know more, but maybe their legal experts feel like, okay, you know, these civil suits are going to be really hard to prove in court, so that ultimately, maybe they feel good about the potential positive income and the outcome, and they on the legal side, and they do it that way. Maybe there's more that we just flat out don't know at this point.
Yeah,
I'll say, you know, there was one thing that I want to laugh at this, but I'm actually kind of impressed. I'm actually impressed by Lonnie Johnson, who sometimes Lonnie Johnson feels like his bark is bigger than his bite.
He needs to play better to tweet as much as he does. I just want to say, I like him too. But
I admire these two. I'm going to tell you two guys, Lonnie Johnson and David Johnson. I admire their pluck. I admire their pluck because Chandler Jones has requested a trade reportedly from the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, we haven't touched on that yet today.
So David Johnson took to Twitter and said, "Hey, Chandler, I know where there's a great fit for you, my dog," and then did a biceps emoji.
Wait, David Johnson or Lonnie Johnson?
David Johnson and Lonnie Johnson.
Oh, they both went after him.
Lonnie Johnson then quote tweeted him and said, Hey y'all got two, we can get one.
Oh, maybe he means he's talking to the Cardinals there.
Yeah.
Maybe he means you've got J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones. Maybe you can give us one of those guys.
I guess so.
Something like that.
I guess so. I don't know. I'm like, I admire those two for, you know, acting like any player in the league right now thinks, yeah, the Texans, that's where I want to be. Nothing but great things I hear about those whippersnappers.
No, there's definitely irony in that. Can I say one thing? David Johnson seems like a very nice person.
Yeah.
That David Johnson is trying to somehow wrangle a trade between the Texans and the Cardinals is slathered in irony, for one thing.
Hey,
David Johnson, the Texans don't have a great history of trades with the Arizona Cardinals, and oh, by the way, you're one of the reasons why. Like, you got paid, and I don't blame you, David Johnson, for getting paid your full salary last year. Good for you. But
yeah, the whole, like, okay, great, chip on your shoulder, and here we go, and all of that. Like, nobody's in the mood for it right now, so I don't.
By the way, David Johnson's on a one-year deal.
Yeah.
Like, hey, come on to Houston. Like, dude, you might not even make the team. Like,
who's that? Well, Odell Beckham Jr. did that with, like, Le'Veon Bell, right? No, Le'Veon Bell did it. Le'Veon Bell was actively recruiting people to come to the Jets, and then within a few months was like, get me the hell out of here. I hate it here.
Now he's like drunk on a sofa talking trash about Andy Reid and what an a-hole Andy Reid is.
Do we have this audio?
I think Ben's pulling it. Do you want to...
Let's just say what it is.
Okay, go ahead.
Because this is notable. Deshaun Watson, and thank you to Lopez, John Lopez, for texting Sean and I. This is a quote from Quincy Avery, Deshaun Watson's personal quarterback's coach, who predicted on Friday, while taping the Adam Schefter podcast, that his client would be traded by Sunday, as in yesterday.
Wow.
The quote is, quote, "I'm 100% sure he'll be traded at some point in the coming future. I think the Texans have made the decision to move on."
Okay.
So that's from Adam Schefter. That's the that's from Adam Schefter's verified account. And
we have the audio? Ben, is that what he said? Yeah, we want to go. Okay, here's Quincy Avery on Adam Schefter's podcast.
This is just me talking with no. I anticipate that Deshaun gets traded before Sunday.
Before this Sunday?
That's what I think. You know his agent as well as anybody, right? I don't know how people would feel about him going, like, as I've never seen one of his clients not go to camp, like, not report. I don't think that that would be what the organization didn't want. So my thought is that I just don't think it bodes well for their organization for when their quarterbacks report this Sunday for Deshaun to be there. And I'm not sure if he'll be there or if he won't. But I just think that the thought of that happening would really be like, all right, we got to make some moves now.
You just made my head spin because we're recording this Friday midday, and you're telling me that you think, whatever that's worth, that Deshaun gets traded by Sunday, 48 hours from now.
That, yeah, I think that it can happen. I know that there's teams out there who want him.
So do I. So even if he's not traded by, even if he's not traded by Sunday, which again we'll see when we run this podcast on Monday or Tuesday, you think it's only a matter of time before he's traded?
I'm 100% sure he'll be traded at some point in the coming future. I think the Texans have made the decision to move on. So he didn't want to be there. They're ready to move on. All they want is fair market value for it.
All right. I think we got Quincy's point. I don't know.
Yeah. What is fair market value? There's no market for a guy that's facing 22 sexual assault allegations. There's no fair price that you could just flat out say, well, this is the going rate. Like, what's the market for this specific situation? It's never happened before.
What is the coming future?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think he'll be traded in the coming future. Okay. Well, I mean, can we do a time conversion here? What exactly is the coming future equal to 2 months? I don't know. I like Quincy. I mean, Quincy's been on our show before, and Quincy's as close to Deshaun, it would appear, as anybody. So I believe everything he's saying about the team wanting to trade him. And I mean, those are all things that have been reported by actual reporters. It felt a little like he was talking out his ass about this Sunday. And I think it's been proven. He's not been traded. And Monday is here.
With Quincy Avery, a lot of times he says stuff that doesn't seem like it would be in Deshaun's best interest if Deshaun were trying to keep things quiet. So I always wonder if he's checking in with Deshaun and Deshaun's cool with him saying this stuff, because he does it. I don't want to say routinely or regularly, but it's not that uncommon for Quincy Avery to kind of raise eyebrows with some of the stuff he's saying. So maybe that's Quincy just trying to help stoke the fire somehow. And as multiple other listeners have pointed out, when David Johnson was telling Chandler Jones that, hey, y'all got two, we could have one.
Lonnie Johnson was saying that.
Yeah, of course, they've got two Texans. They've got DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt.
Oh, they do, yeah.
So we could take one of theirs.
Okay.
So apparently Lonnie's forgetting about David Johnson, too.
Yeah.
We do have David Johnson. What are you telling me? David Johnson's not in the same category as Chandler Jones or J.J. Watt? The nerve, Lonnie Johnson.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
All right. So that was Quincy Avery talking about Deshaun Watson's situation. Who needs to have the bigger stomach for drama this week? The Texans or Deshaun Watson? That's next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, the general conjecture seems to have been leading up to camp that, hey, if Deshaun Watson shows up, boy, I don't know if the Texans are going to want him around because of the circus that it's going to bring. He's really going to bring a lot of, you know, a lot of eyeballs and a lot of scrutiny and things like that. I don't know. This organization seems to have shown that it can absorb drama just fine. It creates plenty of drama, ironically, because I feel like a big part of what creates the drama is their desire to have a culture that has very little drama. And in doing so, they create a ton of drama. But who do you think has the bigger stomach for this circus that we're probably going to see on Wednesday if Deshaun is at practice, Seth? The Texans or Deshaun Watson?
Well, I think that the Texans have probably already, you know, hardened themselves and readied themselves for what might be a tough season. They know what's going on. They look at their, like, Caserio is a bright guy. We'll see if he works out and he maybe ends up being a good GM. We don't know yet. He's got to prove himself, but he is a bright guy. And, you know, he can evaluate the roster. He knows it's going to be likely a tough season. Who knows? They could surprise people, whatever. So they've already hardened themselves for that. I think this is in a lot of ways, this is harder for Deshaun Watson and through no fault of their own, all the players around Deshaun Watson and on the team who are going to be put in some pretty tough situations in terms of either personal loyalty or just general feelings about the team, all this, it gets pretty dramatic. But Deshaun's the guy that's got to go in and kind of into a, I guess I would say either at best an awkward environment and at worst a hostile environment in regards to maybe some of the coaches and front office staff.
Do you think that the Texans are trying to smarten up the players on how to handle Deshaun questions, or do you think they're letting them, they're adults, they're going to handle these questions the way they want to handle them, give them broad strokes and say, hey, if anything comes about the legal part, don't even touch upon that. I mean, I think they would be doing a disservice if they didn't over-communicate. Like, don't, if you get asked about the legal stuff, that's a no comment.
Yeah.
But beyond that,
well,
you know.
That's right. You know, guys that have played for Belichick will tell you that Belichick will just flat out tell guys how to answer questions. You know, hey, if you get asked this, this is how you're going to respond.
That's why I ask. Yeah.
And, you know, obviously Caserio has that background and he's seen that. Is Cully going to get up and tell guys how to answer awkward questions? I mean, he hasn't done a great job of it himself.
No, but
you know?
Would Caserio?
Right, Caserio might. Yeah. And I think the standard response for a player in these situations is like, hey, you know, that's not my business. You know, that's Deshaun's business, or that's the team business, or, you know, I don't comment on other guys' contracts. And we're just, I love Deshaun, support him. Tyrod's doing a great job, support him. We're just supporting whoever's out here, blah, blah, blah. A lot of cliches.
Yeah. Someone texted in, imagine if Deshaun plays and the Texans go like 7-10. That would ruin everything. I guess I think there are probably fans out there who have emotionally come to a place where they've moved on from Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
There may even be fans out there that have looked at what Deshaun Watson has been accused of or even just admitted to and have said, you know what, between that and the fact that he doesn't want to be here in Houston where I live and the team I root for, screw him. And they've gotten to a place where they go, you know what, I'm ready for a rebuild. I'm ready to do this. And if Deshaun plays, and I feel like this texter is one of those people, if Deshaun plays, that does ruin your chance of getting a top, say, 3 or 4 pick in the draft.
Yeah.
I think, and I know they were 4-12 last year. I get it. But Deshaun Watson, maybe it doesn't guarantee ruining your chance at a top 4 pick. Hell, they would have picked 3rd last year and Deshaun was their quarterback. But I think if you're someone who wants to rebuild, you'd rather have Tyrod Taylor and Davis Mills quarterback in the team than Deshaun Watson.
Somebody says, what if players start calling Watson out for wanting a trade? Here's the thing where, you know, I'm going to use the word compartmentalization a lot when we talk about Deshaun Watson, because it's appropriate. You know, when it comes to, okay, how do players feel about Deshaun Watson and the way he acted in his personal life? That's where I think a lot of guys are going to want to think the best of Deshaun Watson because they know him. There are other guys who might just compartmentalize. There's a lot of times you play with guys that maybe you disapprove of certain things, but when you're at your job doing your job, you focus on that part of the world. If players start calling out Watson for wanting the trade, that's something that typically doesn't bubble up until you face genuine adversity. We saw that with the Rockets, right? The Rockets were kind of just cruising along and trying to make the best of it until it reached a boiling point. Yeah. Who are the players that called him out?
John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins is, you know,
called out Harden.
Called out Harden, not quite by name, but there wasn't any question about who they were calling out.
That's right.
But it was getting to the point where they were sick and fed up with it. That's when it would have to happen, is when there was genuine adversity, and that's not until 6 weeks down the road. So I don't think that part comes on anytime soon.
I think you're going to hear a lot of answers if they get asked about him wanting to get a trade. I think you're going to hear a lot of answers that sound a lot like when Dwayne Brown was holding out back in 2017. You know, it's business. That's their business. I'm focused. I'm here to do my job and focus on doing my best for the team, that kind of thing.
You know, one of our listeners asked, what do Brandy and Amy feel about this? Can they cheer for the Texans if Deshaun Watson were the starting quarterback? So Amy is Sean's wife. Brandy is my wife. So I asked Brandy about that, and I don't want to put words into her mouth, but her answer kind of is what I expected. Because like Brandy worked with she worked with at-risk youth. Like, so she's worked with kids that have had a whole lot of issues, and it was kind of, you know, her whole job was seeing the best in these kids and try to get them back on board. So she's very able to compartmentalize and kind of separate one aspect of a person's personality. And I think what she said was more that she would still cheer for the Texans. It'd be hard to feel the same way about Deshaun Watson, but it wouldn't prevent her from cheering for the Texans. I don't know. I don't know. With Amy, Amy's a teacher as well, and I don't know if maybe she might feel the same way.
But she's also a season ticket holder.
Yeah.
Who kept her season tickets. So she's still going to root for the team.
Yeah.
But obviously she's not enamored with Deshaun Watson right now.
I do think there's, every now and then some people act like, well, what do women think? Like all women think universally about the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
Women, hey, here's the update. Is you're trying to sound so elevated. Let's recognize that women can have different opinions on things too. It's not like one standard party line. Yeah.
Exactly. Larry's in.
I'm going to show you. What about the women? Every single one of them. What about them and how they all think at the same time?
Larry's in Stafford. What's going on, Larry?
Hey, Sean, Seth. Good morning to you guys. And I hope y'all had a great weekend like I did. It was just one of the best Sundays to wake up and see all that news breaking. But I'm going to get to the Texans and Deshaun in a minute. Just bear with me. Y'all were talking about Mike Smith. Can you imagine if Dale Murphy and Andre Dawson and Dave Parker and Ron Carew and Ricky Henderson all did steroids? Lord have mercy. Those guys were elite baseball players back then, and they was just doing it. So Mike Smith was one of my favorites. He was one of my favorite dudes.
If Rod Carew did it, like, does it take Rod Carew from being, like, little, you know, focused precision hitter to just blasting them all over
the
place?
Right.
I mean, you know, just how many flips do you think Ozzie Newsome could have done in St. Louis if he was doing steroids? Some backflips he did running
like
out
Simone Biles.
Exactly. So that was, I grew up watching baseball, and Mike Smith, man, I mean, he was a legitimate superstar as far as I'm concerned, because every time he came up to the bat, man, you had to watch what this dude was going to do, because he was hitting balls out of the park. So I just thought that was interesting also. Also, let me touch on James Harden. What James Harden did to the Rockets was ugly, sickening, and just flat out disrespectful how he came in there and did that, because we understood that he didn't want to be there, but he facilitated all that drama over there. That was after the Rockets had given him everything, and then they had just brought in a young head coach that had just come in to try to be something that him and Russ wanted, and then to back out of it like the broad he is. That's why he over there with Lil Baby and Big Baby and Big Headed Baby and everybody else doing silly stuff while Milwaukee is winning championships. So I'm pretty much past the James Harden stuff on that. Now we can get to the good stuff. I told y'all last week that when the circus came to town, your boy was looking to buy tickets. I had hit the button to get my tickets to go over there and see training camp. My season tickets have already been paid for. Deshaun Watson is back in the building. And you guys got to understand this. This line of succession has to be between Deshaun, Caserio, and Cal McNair. You guys were saying that when Deshaun and Cal McNair have a conversation, Cal McNair, I think you're right, Seth. He was trying to do some good by saying, you know what, Deshaun is our quarterback and he's going to be a part of the process. But what Cal did after he said that, he facilitated a whole bunch of other actions that caused Deshaun to lose trust. You cannot have a relationship that is not built on trust. And so when he got his ass on that flight with Jack used to be to go get Caserio, if they would have just went got Caserio by himself, he probably would have been okay. But then he come back, and then what he did was he hired David Culley when everybody in the National Football League knew that Eric Bieniemy or Lewis Riddick or any all these guys was the choice, and Khan from Pittsburgh, and Cal continued to do these things that just made everybody question everything. And then Cal's biggest mistake was he turned on the fans in the city of Houston like we didn't matter. So if I'm somebody on the outside looking at this, I'm thinking, I don't know what the hell the Texans are doing. I wouldn't want to be there neither. Now, having said all that, y'all not breaking news that the Texans are listening to people about trades and all this other stuff and what they want in these trade packages. There's still not enough value that you can regain from trading Deshaun Watson that's going to make you realize that getting rid of a 25-year-old quarterback is something you should do in the National Football League when you have a legitimate chance. And for all those people worrying about if Deshaun Watson plays, the Texans go 7-10 and 8-9 or whatever, that's better than going 0-17, because if you get your draft picks, you still got a dude over there that can win you a championship. And as far as the locker room says, you know this. Them boys in the locker room ain't finna judge Deshaun Watson on what he did off the field. Deshaun Watson is going to be judged about what he do between them lines, because everybody in that locker room do a little bit of different things because they freaky like that, and you already know that. So my point in saying all that is that it's about football, and I'm glad he in town. Now I just need them to facilitate not getting rid of him. Sean, you know how I feel about mm-hmm. it. I told y'all, man, Ringling Brothers and all.
All right, thanks, Larry. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, Larry's fired up for practice on Wednesday. All right, we'll react to some of what he had to say, and I do want to talk about that. Trading Deshaun Watson, the time frame. What are the chances that we do get a Deshaun Watson trade during Camp Caserio? That's next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you, Sports Radio 610. Deshaun Watson is here. Camp Caserio gets started in 2 days, Wednesday morning. And so the question becomes, we've had multiple outlets talk about the possibility of trading Deshaun Watson. Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network saying the Texans are now willing to listen and have been for some time to trade offers for Deshaun Watson. I don't think that's breaking news. Deshaun Watson would have been with another team had he not got hit with a bunch of lawsuits. So they've been listening to trade offers since before the draft, since before free agency. Unfortunately, he got sued by a bunch of women back in the mid to late portion of March, and that put a halt on everything. The question is, can a deal get done before the season starts? And we outlined this a little bit earlier, Seth. I still think the best thing for the Texans would be to wait till next year to trade Deshaun, to wait till before next year's draft, have a clearer view of what the landscape looks like in the draft. I think they're going to be able to get more teams involved at that point, as opposed to teams kind of trying to shotgun do it right before the season. But if HPD comes out and says, we haven't found anything worthy of prosecuting Deshaun Watson, as you pointed out earlier, the criminal side of things is usually what gets Roger Goodell prompted to do something. Commissioner's exempt list, suspension, civil matters. Now, I don't know that we've ever seen a civil matter like this one that has 22 lawsuits involved, but generally speaking, civil matters have not done that. It's criminal stuff. It has gotten Roger Goodell involved. Not all the criminal cases have resulted in a prosecution in the court of law, but some have resulted in suspensions in the court of Roger Goodell. Ben Roethlisberger, Ezekiel Elliott, things like that. So if it looked like Deshaun Watson was free and clear from a criminal standpoint, would that free up enough teams to look at the situation and go, okay, we're ready to give Nick Caserio something that is worth getting him to move on trading Deshaun Watson?
Right.
Do you think that could happen?
Yeah, I think it's possible. And I think that also, I guess one key thing is that now that the names and identities of all of the plaintiffs are known, I suppose that perhaps teams are going in and doing their own investigations as much as they can without getting in the way or without, you know, even anything being apparent. That's the big question that none of us really know is exactly what do people in the know feel about the viability of these cases. And because the legal system is so backed up here in Harris County, it was backed up from Harvey even before COVID ever hit. And now because of COVID, it's really, really backed up. I guess that these various teams are probably talking with their legal people, kind of doing a handicapping exactly what the likelihood of these cases either settling or going to trial are, and trying to figure that out and working that into your risk calculations.
Yeah, exactly.
They're doing the actuarial work on this.
Yeah.
Like, all right, what are the chances? Give me a percentage chance that he actually either is found liable or found guilty in a situation such as this. And it's possible to say, but they can give a percentage chance, perhaps.
That's probably who they're talking to. As you were laying that out, I'm thinking, okay, if I'm somebody in the Denver Broncos front office, let's say, and my sense is that Denver is popping with Deshaun Watson news today because I've now gotten texts from two Denver radio stations about coming on their shows today. So Denver has been one of the thirstiest Deshaun Watson cities that there is. My guess is him showing up at training camp is at least getting those fires stoked again. If I'm the Denver Broncos, let's say, and I'm trying to do investigative work on this, who do I call? I guess the only people you really could call, it's a civil matter. So I suppose you could call HPD, but they're not going to give you any information, I don't think. If you call David Mulligetta, Deshaun's agent, he's going to give you a version of the story that's going to lead to an outcome that he and Deshaun both want. I don't know that you can necessarily, I'm not saying David Mulligetta is not trustworthy, but he's an agent. I mean, he's working on behalf of his client. If you were to call David Mulligetta and get a view of the situation, he's going to give you a rosier view in all likelihood than might be the truth.
Well, and then we also have the question of, all right, there's Busby's trying to put as much pressure on Deshaun Watson as possible, even though he's backed off a little bit. I mean, he did openly troll Deshaun with an Instagram post
while he was on his honeymoon.
While he's on his honeymoon, right?
Yeah.
But I think too, if we're just talking from, if I'm trying to think like a lawyer right here, to speak nothing of the morality of anything or anything else like that. If you're looking at 22 cases, it seems like what would make the most sense is A, Deshaun's attorney, Rusty Harden, maybe has to try to convince Deshaun, like, hey, listen, I know you're adamant about this and that you want to defend yourself and you insist you're innocent and all that. I get that. I like that. But this could take up 3 years of your life before you even get to that point.
Right.
Is there how can we attack this thing in a way that you're okay and comfortable settling? Maybe of these 22 cases, let's just say hypothetically, there are five or six that are the strongest, just either based on corroborating text or testimony or witnesses or what have you. Maybe there's five or six that are really the strongest of those cases. Maybe they can settle with those cases, and then the other ones either fall by the wayside or they recognize the weakness of the case. And maybe they've made more progress along those lines than has been made publicly available or publicly known.
Yeah. We still know that there's 22 hardcore plaintiffs in this whole thing?
Right, right. You'd end up, like anything in life, if there's 22 of something, there's going to be varying levels of strength and all of that. And maybe if they've really addressed the women that maybe have the strongest cases or could raise the highest suspicions, then maybe they've made more progress. Because that number 22, to settle with 22 different plaintiffs sounds damn near impossible because it's not a class action case. It's 22 different cases.
That's right.
But if the strongest cases fall by the wayside or are settled, if the strongest cases are settled, then maybe they start falling a little bit more quickly. That's just me strictly thing like an attorney, not me like as a normal human being.
Yep.
No offense, attorneys.
Yeah.
You're not normal.
That's right. Someone says, Matt, on the text page, you can text 713-572-4610. Imagine no criminal charges came after how bad Sean wants to trade Watson. Do I sound like someone? I said last week that I hope they reconcile. I don't know. Do I come across as someone who's thirsty to trade Deshaun Watson? So if there are going to be Deshaun Watson trades before the season starts, is the chalk still the same to make a deal for Deshaun Watson, barring injury with some quarterback for another team? Is the chalk for Deshaun Watson still in some order, Philadelphia, Denver, and Miami?
Philadelphia, Denver, Miami. Yeah, that's definitely the chalk, because none of those places feel dead on secure or great about their quarterbacks. Philadelphia, we know, has taken on a second chance type of guy in the legal world from Michael Vick.
Yes.
The Broncos, hey, we know John Elway was never arrested for anything, but he probably could have been. And Miami, hey, it's Miami. They built their brand on drug trafficking. So there you go. All three of those have a certain moral flexibility.
Latitude.
They're not going to worry. They'll let things play out they'll do.
Let me bounce this off you, because my guess is there's some teams with fan bases that want Deshaun Watson as their quarterback, but they realize that their team is rolling into 2021 without really a strong desire to trade for Deshaun Watson, but could be in the market to trade for Deshaun Watson after this season is over. Teams that might be hoping for the Texans to wait until next spring to trade Deshaun Watson. Let me know what you think of these.
Okay.
Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger on his last legs, reportedly lean and mean, but not quite that lean. According to Adam Schefter, he said he's lean and mean. But could fans in Pittsburgh, knowing that this Ben Roethlisberger's last year could be any time now.
He says his arm feels fresh and lively.
That's nice.
That's nice. He also did have Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
2 years or whatever, the equivalent, something kind of like Tommy John surgery. That's possible. I think that, as several people on the text line suggested, there's probably a dark horse out there somewhere, kind of like in the J.J. Watt sweepstakes, where
not a single damn person
mentioned the Arizona Cardinals.
Right.
There could be somebody out there. It's a little bit different here because, like, every team can use another defensive lineman, where only several teams really need a new quarterback. Let me ask you this.
Plus, you're talking about a trade here as opposed to just selling J.J. on coming to our team.
Try this one on for size.
Go ahead.
Straight up, Lamar Jackson for Deshaun Watson.
Would you do that if you were the Texans?
Not in a normal circumstance.
No, I wouldn't.
Not because there's still a lot unknown about Lamar Jackson in terms of just how good an NFL quarterback he can be.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson and a draft pick or Lamar Jackson. Yeah, Lamar Jackson and a first rounder for Deshaun Watson.
I'd probably do that. Now, with Lamar Jackson, you're coming up on the time you're coming up with Deshaun here cost-wise.
Yeah.
He doesn't bring the same cost benefit that drafting a rookie would, but he's obviously his former MVP. Recently, he's a much more sure thing. I would do that. I would absolutely do that. Yeah. And he's got a relationship with David Culley, by the way.
Oh, yeah, Lamar of course. Jackson does. From being in Baltimore. Yeah, of course. It would make sense in some respects. I think that, Lamar Jackson would be exciting to watch, but it is just boom or bust at that point right now. Like, Lamar Jackson versus good teams. Lamar Jackson with the Ravens, when they've played from behind, like, all the narratives have been fulfilled that he can't use his arm to dig you out of a hole. So it would be Lamar Jackson stepping into a much less ideal situation than he had in Baltimore. I mean, you can say he didn't have enough weaponry in Baltimore. Fine. Welcome to the Houston Texans. But it would be exciting. My level of excitement and intrigue over the Texans this year would go up about 400%.
In some ways, Lamar Jackson is a much more spectacular version of those quarterbacks that you talk about.
Yeah.
When you go, well, you know, if this is at an A+ and this is at an A-, if everything's working, then you can win a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson. And I know that sounds crazy to say because he was an MVP. But yeah, the Ravens, as currently constructed with Lamar Jackson, are not. They are a team that needs to win a very specific type of way, a very specific type of game. Deshaun Watson is a guy that I feel like if he were on a good team, you can win shootouts. He can win, you know, slogs in bad weather and things like that because he can use his legs. Yeah, I would do that if I were the Texans. I don't think there's a chance of it happening, but that's a fun hypothetical to think about.
Somebody is saying the Packers are the dark horse. I guess the big question with that is that, look, Aaron Rodgers, I don't believe, has a no-trade clause, but the Texans aren't going to be trading for a guy who definitely wouldn't want to come here. In when it's your quarterback, like, you're not going to trade one guy who doesn't want to be here for an older, even more cantankerous version of a guy that doesn't want
to
be here.
He's ready to retire from the Packers.
Aaron Rodgers is trying to quit the Green Bay Packers. Right. Of all places, of all franchises to try to quit, Aaron Rodgers is trying to quit the Packers, who are a Super Bowl caliber team. And I think he would retire in a heartbeat.
In a second.
Come here. Yeah.
In a second. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's a few other teams. I think Carolina is kind of hoping that the Texans don't do anything with Deshaun Watson. Yeah. So they've got somewhere they can go. If the Sam Darnold thing doesn't work out, they can get right back into the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes.
Yeah. Somebody says Lamar would be crazy to come play for Cully here. I guess that's a little bit different. Like, Lamar Jackson, I don't think has as much of an ability to raise a stink about it and just refuse a trade.
He's on his rookie deal.
Yeah. Like, it's, like, he still wants to try to get that bag, you know? Yeah. So I think Lamar Jackson might not want to come here. It wouldn't be as ideal. Like, obviously, he'd want to stay in Green Bay, but this would be more of an old-school classic trade of walking in to the coach's office and finding out, oh, damn, I got traded to the Texans.
That's right. All right, we are done. Seth, antibodies to you. This is going to be a fun week, man. I'm excited. I'm pumped. Camp Caserio starting Wednesday. Deshaun Watson's in town.
I am, beyond all expectations, way more excited about this training camp than I ever thought I would
Same.
Be. I was dreading it like 2 months ago, and now that it's here, just because we're coming out of the COVID restriction year, everything feels like a little bit closer to normal, except for all the incredibly abnormal stuff going on.
It's going to be great. We're going to keep you in tune, covered here all week long on Sports Radio 610. We'll be back tomorrow at 6 a.m. In the Loop is up next. Have a great day, everybody.
Wait a second. They got Mildog? Here we go.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.